Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. What compels someone with almost no experience of sailing to go and buy an 8-ton, 30-foot cruising yacht, especially when it's located not only in another city, but in another state? Why would someone like that risk sailing the boat home on a 1,600 nautical mile voyage, even if it meant facing the daunting prospect of sailing through hundreds of miles of the largest reef system in the world, across the infamous and fickle waters of Carpentaria and the open waters of the tropical Arafura Sea? Well, that's just what Russ Swan did, and he shares his story in the nonfiction memoir, Well, Why Not Comes to Darwin, called a skillfully created story and the perfect length for a companion book while on your own adventure. Russ Swan is an Australian born in Longreach in central Queensland of Australia. In his younger years, Russ worked in sheep shearing sheds in a law court's office, called up to national service in the Australian Army. He served in Vietnam, followed with an Army career. After his discharge, he drove taxis before joining the Northern Territory Police, working there for 19 years. He's a cruising sailor with several voyages completed in Australian and Indonesian waters, a freelance travel writer, author of a number of magazine articles, and a book, A Tanimbar Experience. He's working on a sequel to Loana Comes to Darwin, with other books on voyages planned. Russ Swan from Australia, the author of Loana Comes to Darwin, with us on This Week in America. Russ, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Rick.
This is such a great story, and we'll talk about this whole came about it. You didn't really start out to write a book, but let's go back to the very beginning here. You talk about it right off the bat in the book called The Decision. Here you are. You just realize you're the new owner of a yacht. Then you realize that this is not only not in your city, it's not in your state, and you've got several options to get it to you. Talk about that when the realization set in that, okay, I can have it trucked in, I can have it delivered, or I can go sail it. What was that process like for you?
I guess you've obviously thought about these things beforehand, but it really doesn't sort of hit the bottom of your stomach until you stand there looking at this yacht sitting on the hard stand. And you're thinking, now I've got to get this home, and what am I going to do? I guess it started from when we first made the offer to the previous owners, and they accepted it. And I thought, God, well, that sort of floored me. I didn't think they'd accept it, but they did. And anyway, I was stuck with this boat that I had to get home somehow.
No, it's interesting because this was quite a distance you had to travel. Talk about where you live and where you went to purchase the boat, and then you sailed it back to your place.
Yeah, well, I lived in Darwin. Darwin's located in the centre top of Australia, up in the tropical north of Australia. And Mackay is on the eastern coast, probably about halfway down the state of Queensland coast. It's quite a long way to go by sea. The options were, of course, to have it trucked from Mackay to Darwin by truck, but that just seemed a bit mail orderish to me, and I didn't like that idea much. In the end, I decided the best thing to do would be to find a skipper from somewhere and get them to skipper the yacht, and I'll go as crew and learn as I go along, Rick.
Well, yeah, and you did, and let's talk about that crew. You had a crew, two people besides yourself. The crew member, I understand, didn't have a whole lot of experience either. The captain knew what was happening. Talk about putting the crew together and what you learned from them, because there were times in the book when the captain, for example, really kept his composure when seas got a little rough out there, and you made sort of a mental note that, okay, I like his style. I'm going to use that when I'm the captain of the Loana, and I've got people with me.
Yeah, well, Brian was an old mate of mine. He'd been up in Darwin at one stage, worked in one of the banks up here. We used to go out shooting buffaloes before the brucellosis campaign come in, and they started shooting them off. But he was a great old mate of mine, and he'd retired over to Magnetic Island off the Queensland coast. And so I called him. I thought, well, he'll make up. Although he's got no experience, he's another set of eyes, and he's a reliable sort of fella, so I thought he'll be good. Paul, I got him as the skipper of the boat because I'd had a tip-off from somebody else that he'd only just done the voyage not long before in a catamaran, and he knew the waters. And I thought, right, well, I made a few discreet inquiries around for him and about him, and eventually approached him, and we came to a deal, and he agreed, so we had the crew.
We're talking on This Week in America. Our guest is Russ Swan, author of the book Loana Comes to Darwin. You can find information at bookventure.com, information at Amazon as well, and you can link on directly to information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's a fascinating journey, and let's talk about that, because there were times of tranquility where you had a chance to sit back and relax and contemplate life. And you had times of great adventure at well. Talk, how long? First of all, how long did this journey take you?
It took us about 5 weeks or so, 5 to 6 weeks, and it was mixed up, as you say, with some periods of just beautiful. I mean, sailing. I think anybody who's ever been sailing will understand when I say you get the whole gamut of emotions. You can go from awe and thrill right through to fist clenching, fear, or heart pounding fear. It's really an excellent way to live, being a cruising sailor, because I'm a great believer in use it or lose it, and I think cruising sailing is one of those things where you've got to think about what you're doing, because at times your life is literally on the line if you make a bad decision, or there could be at least bad consequences. On the other hand, you have some just absolutely simply amazing experiences. In fact, my reason to buy a boat was started when I was coming home from, or coming back to Darwin on another boat. A fellow asked me to crew on his boat. He'd bought a vessel in Fremantle. This vessel had something of a shady history. It had been apparently involved in some drug running into the north of Darwin, and had been chased by customs, and ended up smashed on one of the not smashed but grounded on one of the reefs over to the north of Darwin on the Tiwi Islands. And some chap from Darwin had salvaged the vessel, got it floated, and took it down to Fremantle. And the vessel was coming, he put it up for sale, and Don, this fellow that invited me to come along, he bought it, and he was bringing it back, and he asked me to help him bring it back. So I remember we were coming across a gulf to the southwest of Darwin, the Joseph Bonaparte Gulf. We call it the Joseph Blown Apart. It's relatively shallow and can get pretty nasty. But on this afternoon, the setting sun was fading on the golden shimmer on the surface of the sea, and out of the sun, this pod of dolphins come bouncing over the water towards us like a bunch of cowboys. Yip, 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 like it's a beautiful sight it was, and they just hung around, and I was right up on the peak, up in the bow, staring down, and one of them was riding the bow wave in the front of the boat, and he was just rolling his, and a big eye, as big as your fist, he was just rolling up and having a look at me, and then he'd roll to the other side and have a look out at the other eye, and I said, "G'day, mate, how you going?" I said, it's just beautiful.
What? Yes.
Off Broome, we passed by a sailfish. They're those the fish. I think you might have them down in the tropical waters. They're a really big sail along the length of the back, and they have they're shimmering iridescent colours. And this fellow was just sitting there doing circles, or really tight circles, like chasing his tail, sitting on the surface of the water. And I could have jumped over right onto his back. We passed, and he just totally ignored us. And it's just the wildlife like the marine life is just beautiful. And so they're the good times.
With your writing, we feel like we are there. You draw the reader in, and We can actually follow. You've got great photographs in the book. The book is Loana Comes to Darwin. You've got maps there. If you're not a big sailing fan and some of the words you're afraid, well, I don't understand the language. There's a glossary that has everything there. So you really give us everything. You've got the words, and then you've got the pictures, the maps, and the glossary. We really feel like we're with you. And I know that was some of the comment you got from people who read your journal when it was just a journal. You had no idea to put the book together. And they really felt that you were there.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rick. But was before I decided to write the book. Every trip, in fact, it was on that first trip with Don. There was another chap his name was Robin, and he used to take photographs and write down notes on all of his trips. And I said, "What are you doing? I'm going to all this trouble for?" And he says, "Well, I like to keep a record of the people I sail with, you know, for the future reference in case I forget things and just to remember the trips." And one of those trips was he sailed on a scientific trip from Sumatra, I think it was, or Java in Indonesia, and he was heading west to the island of Madagascar because there was similar plant life, similar trees. And they were trying to prove that way, 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 way back, you know, while people were still running around with clubs, that a voyage must have been made by some ancient mariners and taken these things with them to the island of Madagascar. And all they had with them was a GPS, which was transmitting to France somewhere, but they couldn't access it. So they had no idea. You know, they couldn't influence where they were traveling. And I thought, what a marvelous story that would be. And so from after that, I started keeping a record of my own trips so that I wouldn't forget stuff. And I'd take them into originally just to show my co-workers, and it'd do the rounds. And ultimately, almost everybody, in our section, which was the police communications section at Berrima Police Headquarters, they'd be lining up. I'd have to keep a record, a little note, and who was getting the book next. You know, and I thought, this is ridiculous. This is just bloody ridiculous. And then one day, an assistant commissioner walked past, and he saw it sitting on my desk. Oh, this is great. Can I borrow it? He's already got it in his hands, opening it up. And I thought, bloody hell. And it struck me that there must be something of an adventure in all of us. You know, there must really be.
Yes.
People must have a longing for some sort of adventure of their own and sailing voyages and there, but for whatever circumstances they find themselves in, they would like to go. And at that stage, I had no idea of writing. And then my neighbour at the time, he was also an established author, had published a few books, fiction books, and he said, "Why don't you write a book about it?" After he'd read my journals and his photo journals, and I said, "No, I got no idea how to write books. I'm no book writer." And he said, "No," he said, "I reckon you have," because he'd read a couple of the articles that I'd written for Cruising Helmsman. And ultimately, over time, I was encouraged to write Loana Comes to Darwin, and that's where it all started from. But I remembered my that trip by Robin, you know, in his big canoe. And I thought, I'd love to have read that story by him and been able to follow his journey. So if I want that, then I'm sure readers of Loana Comes to Darwin would also want that. So that's what I set out to do, was to try and include the reader on the voyage, if I could.
Excellent reviews. The book is called Loana Comes to Darwin. Russ Swan is our guest on the program, coming to us via Skype from Australia. Bookventure.com is the main site to go to. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Great adventure. You mentioned some of the scenery, some of the real adventure when you're wondering what's going to happen next as you're sailing. But it's more than just that. Talk about some of the other aspects. I mean, you deal with problem solving. A personal friendship evolves. Challenges that come along with a risk like this. This is more than just an adventure story, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Well, any adventure that you go on, I don't know, there's something that cements friendships with people.
Yes.
When they share a common adventure. And I'm not just talking about, you know, jumping on a plane and flying to another city and having a look around. That's in the true sense of the word adventure. That's not an adventure. An adventure inherently means there's an element of risk. And when you have people who share an adventure, whether it be mountain climbing or whatever, I think those friendships, you get to see how people really are. It strips away the outer veneer of people to some extent, and you get to see the real people, and you can bond at a deeper level, I think, with people when you've gone through those sorts of experiences. You mentioned earlier about the behavior of a skipper. The behavior of a skipper is paramount. You have people with you that don't have much experience, then they are, and I learned this myself, you really do look to the skipper to see if things are okay. And I mean, you're not going to be obvious about it. You might sort of glance out of the corner of your eye to see what the skipper's doing or how he's reacting or whatever. So the skipper has to exude confidence at all times, and otherwise people, once they start to get a bit shaky, become less reliable. You've really
Yes.
got to have them buoyant and going. So and that's really important. For example, we were going through a little gap, which is called the Gargari Rip up here, and it's 1 nautical mile long and only about 80 meters wide. It's rock lined on both sides. On the eastern side it funnels in, and on the other side that just opens out gradually into a beautiful bank. But we were approaching from the east side, and we'd mistimed it. Now Gargari Rip is the only access or the only funnel through which the Arafura Sea can empty into the Timor Sea and back. So you can imagine the tide rips through there at anywhere between 8 and 12 knots. So you've got to have just the top of the tide or the bottom of the tide to get through there. We misjudged it. We ended right at the start of it. We thought we were entering it right at the end of it, but we were just a bit out of it, our timings, and we were at the start of it. And we found ourselves caught right in the middle of it. And the motor was screaming, and the temperature gauge was going up into the red, and there's no wind to help push us out, and we didn't really want to just ease the throttle and back up into the funnel back outside, because the water outside there was boiling up around like a tea kettle. We'd be swamped, so we had no room to turn around, and we were really stuck. Obviously, we did get out, but it did need good teamwork and instant action by everybody concerned.
That's one of the adventure parts of the book, Luana, comes to Darwin. Russ Swan, our guest on the program. A few minutes left in the show. It's interesting you talk about in a situation like that, you really learn about other people, that it's sort of veneer is stripped away and you learn about them. What did you learn about yourself during that 5 week period? That had to be a learning experience for you too, and maybe found something there that you didn't know you had before.
You learn a lot about yourself, I guess, when you go into a war zone. You sort of come out of there with certain opinions about yourself. I didn't have any secrets about my inner workings, if that's how I could describe it. I didn't have any problems with having to. I guess that what I learned was that I enjoyed the challenge, and
It sounds like it, yes.
challenge is what it's all about. And subsequent voyages were to prove to me that I was all about the voyage rather than the destination. Years later, we sailed, for example, just one example, I sailed to the Tanimbar Islands, which is just 300 nautical miles north of Darwin. And it's just a short couple of day trip across the Arafura Sea to Sumlaki, the provincial capital. And as soon as I dropped anchor there, this terrible feeling of anti-climax, like it's all over now. What to do? What am I going to do now? Everybody's saying, "Oh, let's go to shore. Let's go ashore. Let's have a swim." And they didn't really want to go to a swim because a dead pussycat come floating right beside the boat. So everybody decided they didn't want to go swimming after all.
I mentioned in the beginning you're working on a sequel. How was that coming?
I'm about 3/4 of the way through that.
Oh, good.
It's called Learning from King George. It's a follow-on from Luana. Luana was my learning learning trip where I learned how to sail the boat. But in terms of being able to command the boat as a skipper and make all the decisions, I didn't actually have too many of those. So when we got it to Darwin, I put it in the I put it out in the fore and aft moorings out in the harbour, and you know, I used to do a few sailings around the harbour and so on, but no trips. I did do one trip to the northeast of Darwin, a place called Port Essington, where the Brits tried to establish a settlement in the 1800s, and it failed. And there's, you know, it's quite a historic sort of place. The cemetery is particularly moving when you see the number of dead women and deceased women and children all the same day that obviously died in childbirth. It was a stark example of the type of the hard life that they had. And anyway, on the way back, the bloke I had with me, he'd was inattentive for a moment, and he went to get a loose rope from the water, which was dragging, and the wind got behind the sail and went cracking across the boat and smacked him right in the head. So I had to take him back to Port Essington. And then the following week, I had another fellow. We left the boat there, and the following week, I flew over, and a fellow come to help me sail the boat back to Darwin. And we just got within sight of Darwin, and he pulled the plug, the top off a whistling kettle, and scalding water gushed all over his face and burned his face. And I thought, God, I hope I don't get, you know, things happening through.
Oh, yes.
So things can be, you can have accidents on a boat, but the thing is, you know, you just can't call up an ambulance.
Yes.
That's the element of risk that we were talking about before.
Well, this
so
is...
So anyway, learning from King George then, I then did a trip over to West Australia across the Joseph Bonaparte Gulf, and on the way back we got hit with a series of really heavy storms, and I hope I've described those adequately.
I am looking forward to having a chance to read and talk about that as well. The book we're talking about is the second one that Russ has written, Loana Comes to Darwin. It includes illustrated maps, photographs, glossary of nautical terms. All you have to do is sit back and go along on the adventure as it unfolds. Russ, excellent job. It's a great adventure, a well-written book. You're an excellent writer, and you bring us along with you. We feel like we're actually on the adventure, and it was so much fun having you on the program. Loana Comes to Darwin. Russ Swan, our guest on the program. Russ, good luck with the new book, and thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Good on you, Rick. Thanks very much, mate.
It is my pleasure. The book, once again, Loana Comes to Darwin. Russ Swan is the guest on the program. He's the author of the book. Book's available at bookventure.com in their bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.